Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Won't you please be seated? On, I must say, a rather dismal day outside. Glad you're here as part of the warm community of St. James. We re-welcome our guest organist, Ralph Thorne. Ralph has been filling in probably, I'm going to say dozens of times, I'm not sure if it's hundreds of times, for Stephen Hollowitz over the years, but welcome back to you while Stephen is away for a few days. And as you see in your bulletin, very special congratulations to Katie. Okay, just stand up. Hey, Katie. So, okay. Award winner supreme, and you can read more about that. Next week, let me preface this. There was someone in to see me this week who is having a bunch of zigzags in her life. And I just have been thinking a lot about that. So next week, I'm going to be focusing in the message about some of the zigs, the wonderful things that happen in our life and lift us up and give us cheer and blessings, and also some of the zags. What on earth do we do with those times? So tentative sermon topic is the zigzags of life. So maybe you can come and see whether I've built that up too much as well as today's sermon. Just one more thing I'd like to point out. On Valentine's Day, we asked you to bring a loved one to church so we could celebrate our love and affection for one another, and a lot of people did. I'm going to throw out the same request for 2 weeks' time, Mother's Day, I think it's the 14th. Make sure you send out an invitation or ask a family member to come with you and help you celebrate some music, some special activities, and hopefully a sermon that will touch some hearts as well. God bless us all as we enter our worship.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit,
that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. Make us perfect in every good work to do your will, and work in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Acts. Those who had been baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
God is my shepherd. I want for nothing. My rest is in the pleasant meadows. He leadeth me where quiet waters flow. My fainting soul doth here restore, and guideth me in the ways of peace to glorify his name. And though in death's dark valley my steps must wander, my spirit shall not fear, for thou art by me still. Staff are with me, and they shall comfort me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please be seated? Of all the images of Jesus in the Bible, Lord, King, Savior, Prince of Peace, the one that I believe is the most endearing, perhaps by leaps and bounds, is the Good Shepherd. There are over 100 titles for Jesus in the New Testament alone, but the description of the Good Shepherd stands out. I want you to contrast that with the titles given to so many millions of people in our society today. Trolls, spammers, hackers, swatters, tyrants, megalomaniacs, fanatics, religious and otherwise. The list would never end. It almost seems, doesn't it, at times, that there's a battle going on for just the hearts and souls of what it's like to be a human being. And it should be clear where most of us in the church community, the community of Christ, stand. Last Sunday, we went on an 11-kilometer journey west from Jerusalem to the tiny village of Emmaus. This morning, we're going on a 24-kilometer field trip northwest of London to a sheep farm run by our parishioners, Dave and Mary Decay. My wife and I were recently treated to an afternoon tour there. I knew full well a couple of weeks ago that the fourth Sunday after Easter is called the Good Shepherd Sunday. And I wanted to see what a real shepherd does today. And some things don't change a lot. A shepherd still seems to have two main functions, to protect and to feed. The gospel spells out the dire need for protection against robbers, thieves, wolves, and of course we could add trolls, spammers, and a whole list of other things to that. Beasts that would harm, mutilate, destroy. Our friend Dave spoke about one time last spring seeing a record number of coyotes in the fields. 12 coyotes at one time, wanting to kill and to feast. His farmland surrounded by many acres of woodland. And most disheartening is the fact that these predators occasionally slaughter for the sheer enjoyment of it, rather than to feed. He remembers some years ago when he finally had to buy a stave, a crook, to ward off predators and to rescue the herd of lambs, to protect himself as well. He used to have 6 grazing locations spread over his wide acreage, but there are so many predatory coyotes, he now has to keep his flock close to the safety of his barns and definitely locked up at night. He would walk in front of the sheep, calling them, enticing them by shaking a pail with some grain in it. And they recognized him by his voice, his gait, and of course the sound of the grain in the pail. They'd follow him to food and safety, protection and food. We certainly knew when the sheep needed to be fed, because bedlam reigned in the 2 barns when David appeared. David the shepherd. Most of the lambs would be very healthy, but some of them who had been abandoned by their mothers needed to be bottle fed and not able to eat the strewn hay. I learned that 20, 30, even 40 lambs some years need to be bottle fed. And that was 4 times a day for 4 weeks. That's a lot of work. Under the care of the good shepherd, the ewes, rams, and lambs continue to thrive with the nourishment each receives. I was asked this week, it was someone from the Catholic tradition, whether I was a minister, a priest, or a pastor. Well, I can be all three, and I can be all three sometimes near the same time, but usually different times. What do you prefer? He pressed on. And I said instantly, I prefer be called a pastor. Someone who cares for and loves people. Someone who protects people in the name of Jesus Christ from a lot of bad things that are happening out there. Someone who in the name of Jesus can help feed people spiritual food. And that's what I've rediscovered about myself in the last couple of months since being back here as interim pastor. It feels good to be back in that loving mode. I never thought of myself as the good shepherd for a couple of reasons, I suppose. It seemed too bold, too audacious. I'll never come up even close to that lofty standard of Jesus. The other reason that lingered in the back of my mind is that I don't want ever to think of you, the people in the congregation, as people to be herded by someone up in the lofty pulpit, perhaps docile, somewhat dim-witted and dull, lacking in uniqueness. I would soon lose my job as interim pastor. Well, it's helped a lot to find out that that is a total mischaracterization of sheep. Please trust me on this. A shepherd does not find sheep like that at all. The prestigious journal Psychology Today describes sheep as very intelligent animals who live together in harmony in a flock for community. Isn't that a little bit closer to how we might like to be described? Sheep have good memories, excellent recognition skills. So a pastor it is, then. That's why the bishop, the chief pastor of the diocese carries a crook with him when he's leading ceremonies in and out of church or giving the blessing. It's a symbol of the bishop caring for the people, for the well-being of God's church. And if you're interested, you can look up the word pastor and see what it originally meant. It's from a Latin word, which means shepherd, to lead, to pasture, to care for, tend, to feed. So maybe in the future I won't shy away from that title too much. In fact, Jesus tells his followers, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Comes rather as an order at the end of the Gospel of John. Do a life of service in Christ's name. That's what we're all called to. It's why the churches are in the forefront of a ministry in food banks and in used clothing depots and community breakfasts. Obviously, much of that had a crimp put in it because of COVID, but a lot of that is being resurrected in our community. Still, while people struggle economically, maybe even more so right now. A group of people from our parish gathers every Tuesday afternoon in the church kitchen to prepare meals off casseroles, sandwiches, soups, to feed 100 people in the week. Project Hope, it's called. Feeding homeless people who lack even the security that Dave offers to his livestock. A couple of groups meet each week at the church to study scripture, another to explore their faith. Some go to a midweek quiet Eucharist. Others follow the daily Bible notes, the brochures that are left at the exits to the church. And many others, particularly those in the intercessors group, remember each day those who are ill and shut in and those who are facing danger locally and abroad. Feeding minds, feeding souls. Called to be good shepherds, all of us. I want to end with what I think is a poignant story, which just lifted me this week to the highest heavens. I received permission, of course, to tell the story, but won't use anybody's name, even though the person whom I'm thinking about, many of you do know her, and that's wonderful too. And quite incidentally, I'm bookending this homily, starting with David and Mary Decay, faithful people living on a sheep farm, and ending with a young woman from our parish who has a deep faith and worships here most Sundays and who grew up on a farm. This woman has not had it easy for the last several years. A difficult separation, huge financial stress, a job that would never lead to much more than an endless cycle of poverty with minimum wage employment. A single parent juggling an endless number of balls in the air to make ends meet. She received some OSAP money, student loans, some of which has to be repaid when she graduates. After 5 years of study, she finished her last exam this week and is preparing to graduate with a university degree sometime in mid-June. We were able to go out for lunch in midweek and celebrate that victory. And in the middle of the meal, she told me about something that had happened earlier that very morning. She was in a rush, errands, trying to get to the restaurant in time to meet me. And she had to swoop into Metro to buy a bag of milk for her daughters. And when she left the store, she almost tripped over a man lying by the entranceway in tatters. And she passed by. And then she came back. "Are you hungry?" she said. "What do you take in your coffee? Milk? Sugar? Take it black?" "I'll be back," she shouted as she left, and she did return holding a McDonald's meal deal with coffee and milk and sugar. "Here you go, sir." And he said in a rather gruff voice, "No one calls me sir." "Well, I call you sir," she said. And she laughed when she was telling this story. says, my OSAP ran out a few weeks ago. I've got nothing. This man lying in tatters, he and I are about in the same economic position right now, but I couldn't walk by. That's the story I really want you to remember through the week, as you and I try to emulate what it's like to be called a good shepherd, because I have no doubt in my mind that when I have some reluctance, there is no doubt in my mind whatsoever that we have at least one good shepherd in this parish, and hopefully dozens more. God's people must be protected and fed. Amen. Standing, let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Let us bring to him our cares and concerns for the church and for the world. Good shepherd of the sheep, we pray for the church, for all congregations, for pastors and all who minister in word and sacrament. We pray especially for the bishops shepherding the whole world church. We pray for clear guidance and direction in these issues which disturb us, asking not that you lead us the easy way, but the way that is right and good. The Lord is my shepherd.
There is nothing I shall want.
Good shepherd of the sheep, we pray for the world we inhabit, the world we have inherited and will pass on to successive generations. Teach us to look after it carefully and wisely, to share its gifts more fairly, and work together to ease its sufferings. Turn the hearts of those who are excited by evil things and encourage the timid to speak out for what is wholesome and good. The Lord is my shepherd.
There is nothing I shall want.
Good shepherd of the sheep, we pray for our places of work, our colleagues, our friends and neighbors, and the members of our families. We ask not for popularity at all costs, but the grace to do your will and be witnesses to what it means to live lovingly, both when it is easy, but also when it hurts. The Lord is my shepherd.
There is nothing I shall want.
Good shepherd of the sheep, we pray for the weak and vulnerable, for those who must live depending on others for every need, and for those who are bullied or constantly despised. We pray for the greater reverence one for another, for a greater willingness to uphold and encourage one another. We pray for healing and wholeness, praying especially for Patrick Conboy, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckeridge, John Fryer, Al McMillan, and we ask your blessing on the Ibbot Yu family as they mourn the loss of Reverend Chai Shin Yu, Ruth's father. May he rest in peace. Merciful Father, accept our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death, and banish the darkness
of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. We say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather thy lambs with his arm, with his arm. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather thy lambs with his arm, with his arm. And
thank you.
Standing, let us pray. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and your loved ones this day and forevermore. Amen.